Okay, I think the last class was a little bit more theoretical. This is more practical. It's kind of a more of a how-to approach to presenting the scripture, though there was in the last class there was a question about how poorly scripture reading is done usually in worship services, and how can that be improved? And the assumption, I think the assumption is, do you want it to be improved? You have to start there. Is it an objective? Is it the goal of worship to have that 3-minute section of the worship service to be elevated beyond where it is now? Just to get this class to be, the last class was mostly me talking, though there was some few questions in there. Let's make this a little bit more participatory. Tell me, in your worship experience, what is the worship experience of the scripture reading in your setting? But what I'd like to talk with you about today is the objective would be, and this is something actually that I would do in a several hour seminar where we would get up and work, because this is really much more caught than taught, and I'm grateful that you have assigned several people, because then we can work together. But the objective would be primarily to express in a 2 or 3 minute passage of scripture, not usually memorized. That's very impressive that the people would go that far, because there's a liberation if it's memorized beyond the point of what's the words. But if you can get beyond that to after get the words in and then making the words your own, I mean, that's just that's extraordinary liberty, because you're able to unearth so much that's there. And the big problem in scripture readings is mostly there's almost no quote unearthing going on. So we're staying at the surface because basically the reader, the listener can't. It's very few times that the listener can receive any more than what the reader has presented. So if the reader hasn't done any work on the text, has done no digging, you can almost rest assured that the listener won't get anything out of it either. But what we want to do now is to express a 2 or 3 minute passage of scripture, which is about the normal time. 3 minutes is about somewhere around 15 verses, though we won't start with 15 verses. We usually will start with just two. To express a passage of Scripture that will inspire the congregation to think seriously about the text meaning and its personal application in their life. And particularly when it is done just prior to the sermon, you really want the congregation to be so interested that they say, I wonder what... It puts a lot of pressure on the preacher if you do it well. Because they say, I wonder if he is going to... what he's going to tell us about this text. And if he wants to just use the text to be tangentially, that will definitely come across too. What I'd like to do, and you guys have already done this with the prepared readers, is to take a look at 3 or 4 verses of Scripture as if you were going to read them in a public worship setting. One of the things I mentioned in the first hour is there is a statistic which I really need to have verified and taken a look, but I've heard it from several places that it's just what is the exact percentage is a little varied, but I'm going to use, because it's in the middle, half the people in congregations do not devote any time in the Bible outside of Sunday worship. So what that means is whatever the scripture that's being received in church, in a worship service, is all they're going to get for the week. And the big problem that is that if the scripture is presented in a half-hearted way during the worship service, that message gets across that this is not essential that I be in God's Word. That's one message it sends off. The other message is that we alluded to it earlier, if the presentation is half-hearted and there's nothing really, no connection between the reader and the text that's going on, what tends to happen is there's really no communication going on, so that invites the audience to kind of tune out and say, okay, I'll wait till this is done because the preacher is going to explain it anyway. I can't get it on myself. So it's also encouraging people not to spend time in God's Word because the subliminal message is I don't get it. It's going to be a waste of my time. So what we want to do, it's just a procedural matter. So what we want to do is get beyond that. You know, we don't want people to think that there's no penetrating power. It's not tune out time. It's not worth investing energy. We don't want to undermine personal reading of Scripture, and that's all the things that are going on. So the solution is a good reading of Scripture that's going to awaken the passion of which the text speaks. You know, it's like our minds are kind of a closed book, and the Holy Spirit's trying to get in. I stand on the door and knock, and sometimes we can help that if we can just awaken people. What was that? What did God just say? What was that so interesting? And that's what a good reading of the text can do. And there's a lot at stake. We want to help people ask questions. We want to elevate the Scripture. We want to raise curiosity. We want to increase the stakes. Make people listen to the message more closely. And through a good reading, the Word becomes flesh. And there's simple techniques to do this. And we want to spend our time in doing that. I'm going to ask each of you to do these three things with your text. I want you to... can I reach this board? I think I can. All right. Let me give you some tools that I use when I prepare a text. If I were asked to read John's Gospel chapter 1, and if I hadn't done any preparing, I might say, okay, the reading of God's Word, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him everything, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's a pretty half-hearted, kind of a caricature of a reading. But what if I broke it up and allowed, it was kind of hermetically sealed, wasn't it? I mean, it was just kind of passing through. In fact, what most people's biggest mistake when they do a reading is they read it too fast. And what that does is that the audience needs time to connect with the Word. So we're in a different place. The reader is in a different place. They know the text a little bit better, so they try to get through it. And by the time they're done, the audience is finally just catching up with what's going on. So the main thing you always want to do is try to find a way to get you and the audience on the same page. And a good technique of doing that is to start very, very slowly. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, when you do it that way, what I ended up doing there was it was part of my preparation, is asking myself, okay, how do I interpret this? How do I phrase what I'm going to say? And the phrasing is so important, because phrasing is where communication occurs. And that's the whole objective, is how do you communicate this text? And so the first step would be is to break your part of your preparation of the text to make it come alive, is to break it into its communicable phrases. The simpler the data, the larger your phrase can be, the longer your phrase can be, the more difficult the data, you may have to break it up more. You know, it's almost like, in the beginning, did you get that? Can I go on? Can I tell you the next bit? Because that's how people receive thoughts. It's almost like breaking, the phrasing is about breaking up the text into thoughts, because that's what gets communicated. I think it, you receive it. We have spaced overcome. That's the value. That's the value of projection. But we all are mic'd these days, so projection is not as big of an issue as it used to be. There are issues of diction, because a lot of people say, "I didn't understand what he said." Always ask yourself, and is how is this understood? Diction is big. But the key thing, assuming that you have projection, assuming that you understand the text, assuming that you have good diction, then the key issue is, all right, what about the phrasing? Because that's what gets communicated. Yes, sir? Okay. I have spent a lot of time recently in Romans 7, because I really am thinking from my own personal understanding of Romans. If I understand Romans 7, I can put the rest in place. And there's some very, very, very hard stuff in here. What's interesting about this, well, I do my studies on a computer Bible, so I'm not used to looking at it here, so give me a moment to find it. But I will try to look at a more difficult one. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! That begins to do it, because there's a lot going on there. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That's an example. Okay. The next thing you would do is you want to make a commitment to that once you've got the phrasing. And what I find is one of the great things that phrasing does is it helps the scriptures talk to you. You know, that's so big, because what you're trying to do, this is kind of an acting exercise. You know, when we go to movies, there's some actors we like, some actors we don't like. But basically, the thing that's going on is there's a level of passion, there's a level of engagement, a level of ethos and pathos that he's finding in his being through the vehicle of these words to get out into to the audience. And the phrasing, when you break things down, you allow the text to speak to you. And that says something very mysterious, but it opens your emotional element. It opens your soul up to the text. And that's what moves us when you speak. If there's no connection to the words, even if you have got good diction, if you've got a good projection, you understand the text, you've phrased it right, but if you don't have that emotional connection, there's something distancing about it. So one of the second thing that you that I do is when you do the phrasing, and you repeat the phrasing in a meditative stance, meditation meaning letting the scripture speak to you, that fills you. That comes out. That's information. That's data. And a lot of, I wish, you know, so often this kind of stuff is almost beyond, it's more caught than taught. But I think you're getting what I'm saying. That's a very important part of doing it. I find, to kind of simplify this, if I go through a text, let's say going back to the John 1 text, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. If I do my phrasing, in the beginning was the Word. You know, and I usually do this, or I ask students to do it. I don't have to do this anymore because it's become kind of second nature. I do this automatically. But if it's not second nature, you take the text, you break down the phrasing. You know, you write it out that way, or you get your computer, put you the text, and then phrase it out almost line by line. In the beginning, one line was the Word, second line, etc. But if I go through my phrasing 8 times, it's almost like I've almost got it. First of all, I've almost got it memorized. But I know it so well, and I'm allowing that text to speak to me. It's a very active engagement in the text. It's not a rote going over it each time. It's allowing the text to speak to you. And once that happens, and you do it aloud, that's where you get your more engaged delivery. And it's that kind of engagement that engages.